Nisi abundaverit justitia vestra plus quam scribarum et fariseorum non intrabitis in regnum celorum. Unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, today, for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost, our Gospel is taken from the fifth chapter of Matthew, in which our Lord tells us about the perfection that he expects from us in observance of the law. A little earlier in the same Gospel, he stated that he came not to do away with, but to fulfill the law. Let us delve into this perfection that our Lord expects of us, especially on the question of anger, as suggested by today's Gospel. As you well know, the fifth commandment states, "Thou shalt not kill." In salvation history, the time of the church under the Old Testament was a period of pedagogy, a time for the chosen people of God to learn of God's ways. After thousands of years of living with the consequences of the original sin of Adam and Eve, our Lord began leading his people to salvation by first teaching them of his ways through the law and the prophets. By observing the law and obeying the teachings of the prophets, the people should have been well prepared for the coming of the Messiah. For this, the scribes and the Pharisees, as interpreters of the law, should have been leading their people to greater and greater conformance with the law of God. However, by the time of the coming of our Lord, they had overburdened the people by adding on many observances without doing anything to help them. The definition of justice is to give to each one what is due to him. The virtue of religion is that part of the virtue of justice that concerns giving to God what is due to him. By overburdening the people, the scribes and the Pharisees would place a large emphasis on external works and would discount that which was most important in this work of justice towards God, the growth of the chosen people in perfection, particularly in the virtues of faith in God and hope in his promises. Hence, it was sufficient for the scribes and Pharisees to not kill a man, to not commit homicide, without considering forgiveness and fraternal charity. Our Lord, however, came to insist that we look higher. The way of the scribes and the Pharisees is to do the work of justice without ever arriving at truly being just, because we would never grow in faith, hope, and charity. It is this which allows us to have a supernatural aspect to our justice. In today's Gospel, our Lord asks us to have a greater justice than the scribes and the Pharisees, effectively asking us for two things. The first, in everything that we do, we should be sincere. The internal dispositions of our souls should be expressed in our external actions, and our external actions should be reflected in our internal dispositions. The scribes and Pharisees were so concerned with the external acts of meeting the provisions of the law that they neglected the internal dispositions of the souls of the people. Secondly, our Lord asks us to practice what we preach. The scribes and Pharisees were so full of their own sense of superiority that they would not do what they commanded the people to do. For this reason, our Lord reminded the people that they should do what the Pharisees told them, but not do as they do. Our Lord demands of us a sincerity in every one of our actions. Instead of having the negative aspect of doing no harm, our justice should be positive in that we should have a real fraternal charity towards our neighbor. This is how we establish in our hearts the kingdom of God, showing by the testimony of a clear conscience the fruits of the Holy Spirit. In today's gospel, our Lord illustrates his exhortation to have a clear conscience, a sincerity in our hearts, by taking up the fifth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." This commandment is not a prohibition against hunting. For we read in the Bible, "Every moving thing that lives will be food for you, just as I gave you the green plants," in the book of Genesis. This is not a prohibition of capital punishment. For God reminds us in the book of Deuteronomy that secular authority has the right to inflict this punishment against those who unjustly kill other people who are also created in the image and likeness of God. Again, because man is created in the image and likeness of God, this commandment is a prohibition against suicide. Fundamentally, this commandment is about taking the life of another unlawfully, without authority. This commandment is about the sin of Cain, who hardened his heart in hatred against his brother Abel, such that he killed him in a jealous rage. In today's gospel, our Lord points out the two things that the Pharisees refused to emphasize in their interpretation of the law. These two things, our Lord points out, come before the external action of killing someone. The law says, "Thou shalt not kill." Before Cain killed his brother, he had anger and hatred in his heart. These are the things that our Lord is warning us against. In his commentary in today's gospel, St. Thomas teaches us that we can have three levels of anger: anger hiding in our hearts, anger appearing externally, and anger erupting into harm. When someone provokes us to anger, the passion rises in our hearts. This anger may neither appear externally nor cause harm, but even when hidden, it can be one of two types. When we are angry in the right amount, at the right things, for the right reasons, then we can say we have zeal. This zealous anger is not sinful, but can even be virtuous. It can arise when we have to correct someone in a particular situation. However, if we want the person who provoked us to suffer something in some way, then it is a bad type of anger, a lack of charity, a type of anger that is satisfied by vengeance. This is the type of provocation that our Lord would expect us to forgive. Depending on whether we consent or not, and on the gravity of the angry act that we contemplate, we could sin mortally or venially. It is when we nurse this hidden and sinful anger that it can fester in our souls and appear externally in angry words or gestures. The Pharisees, with their materialistic interpretation of the law, had completely lost its spirit. They had forgotten that the eyes of the Lord are always upon us, and that he sees our intentions as well as our acts. Anger and resentment that smolder in our heart do not escape him. At the same time, Jesus asks us a great delicacy in all our exterior dealings with our neighbor. He demands that we avoid not only offensive acts, but even words that might hurt another. Our Lord calls us to overcome this anger as well, by practicing the virtue of patience. This type of anger, if not removed from our souls, can become hardened. And it is hardened anger that leads to hatred, which will bring us to want to kill someone. The application of the law, as demanded by the Pharisees, would deal only with the external act of homicide, when in fact they should have also been teaching their people to watch for these things in the soul that could lead to a violation of the fifth commandment in thoughts, if not already in words or deeds. Our Lord points out that we should be vigilant and deal with the first moments of anger in our soul. At times it may be necessary to refuse to act until we have calmed down. This is patience. This is possible by the grace of God. By this exercise of patience, we become masters of our souls. When we come before God in Holy Mass, we offer to Him all of our sacrifices from the whole week. Every time we refuse to give in to sin in some way or another, we can bring it here to Mass and offer it up to God. This is done at the offertory. Once the gifts are prepared, the priest calls upon the Holy Spirit to sanctify the gifts and make them acceptable to God Almighty. Here we can look upon our sacrifice and see if, unlike Cain, but like Abel, we can offer a sacrifice worthy of His Majesty. If our Lord tells us that if we see that our sacrifice is not worthy, then we must not despair. In the last part of today's Gospel, He enjoins us to seek forgiveness of the neighbor whom we have offended, or forgive he who has offended us, and then offer a sacrifice at the altar. Even if we do not have the occasion to forgive or ask for forgiveness in person, we must not forget that we are all united to each other in the mystical body of Christ. Spiritually, we can forgive in our hearts the person who we have offended or who has offended us, asking our Lord or our Lady to undo the offense done. You know the old saying, charity begins at home. It is against the home, against the family, that Satan loves to do his evil work. Our Lord gives us the secret to thwart his evil designs. If forgiveness needs to be asked for, ask for it. If forgiveness needs to be given, give it. In this way, we can make a worthy offering to our Lord. At the time of the consecration, our humble and small sacrifices will be joined to the sacrifice of our Lord at Calvary on the same pattern. Then, and only then, will our sacrifices be found worthy and acceptable to God the Father in heaven. At Holy Communion, we will receive the specific graces that we need to overcome those sinful habits that trouble our conscience. God knows how dangerous this anger can be to our spiritual life, even if hidden in the smallest recesses of our souls. Therefore, He wants us to remove even the smallest sign of it from our souls. For this reason, St. Peter invites us today to firmly implant in our hearts the virtues of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, so as to be a part of His perfection instead of increasing our imperfections. He says, be all like-minded in prayer, compassionate, lovers of the brethren, merciful, reserved, humble, not rendering evil for evil or abuse for abuse. Our Lord has ordered us not to punish, but to bless each other. He has commanded us to help each other to grow in perfection, and not to scandalize each other with our bad behavior. St. Peter continues, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no deceit. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Even with our weakness and frailty, we cannot preserve peace if we have no compassion for the faults of others. If we do not know how to be kind to those who displease us, and if we cannot bear blame with humility, let us not hesitate to turn to Our Lady seeking her help to examine our consciences closely, to forgive and to accept forgiveness. Our Lady, Comforter of the afflicted, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.